Chapter 11. Infiltration. Protect the weak. Unacceptable terms. The Legion Orbital over Sotha monitored a modest amount of shipping, most of it arriving during a window once every 2 weeks, when the Pharos's path was diffused to its maximum spread in the direction of Macragg. On those days, envoys, adepts, supplies, and other vital items and personnel came down the path of light the Pharos beat through the storm to Sotha, their rush taxing the traffic masters. The rest of the time, the Sothan orbital kept watch as best it could through the interference patterns of the alien beacon and the hellish noise of the ruin storm. Patrol ships were scheduled to come and go, but little else. So it was that the unscheduled return of the destroyer Probity to Sotha raised immediate concerns. Effective range of the station's augurs was down to a mere 500,000 kilometers, but as soon as the Probity crossed the marker line, she was spotted. A solid dot coalesced from the jags and blips of scattered light at the edge of the Orspec screen. Three Legion serfs saw her at once and duly brought notice. Shipping command was notified, the schedule consulted. The Probity was not due to return for 2 weeks. During those times that his duties did not take him elsewhere, Captain Adalus remained on the command deck. If there was to be an attack, he wanted to see it first and react to it immediately. Alert for anything amiss, he picked up on the exchange between his deck officers and listened to them.
Distance out. 500,000 kilometers and closing fast. Vox Command, any communications? I'm struggling to raise her crew. Keep on trying.
Adalus spoke, his deep transhuman voice punching through the chatter of the mortal men and women on the command deck. He looked to his aides, Sergeant Odilio and Company Vexillary Genus. The men joined their captain. Odilio was grey-haired and thoughtful, Genus younger and sterner.
Gunnery Command, bring all weapons online. All hands to battle stations, said Adalus. Three siren calls whooped out across the station. Give me all information on the Probity's status. Constant update.
On main hololith now, my lord.
Long-range Orspex indicates damage to her engines. There's plasma dumping from the port side vents. A possible malfunction or battle damage.
Can you determine which? Said Adalus.
Not at this range, and with the Pharos operating at its current level, said an Orspex officer.
Lord Captain Adalus, they're attempting to open communications. Their Vox is badly scrambled. Their emitter array is damaged, added Vox Command.
Persist in your efforts until you have raised them.
Yes, my lord.
Minutes passed. The Probity drew nearer, a bright star moving swiftly across the red cloth of the storm. Soon the plough-bladed prow became visible on the hololith, then other details behind it. Adalus ordered the tactical display up to full magnification. Through the digital snow of the storm and Pharos, the damage to the ship was evident.
My lord, I have something, said Vox Command. Very faint.
Put it on the main Vox. Command deck, all quiet, commanded Adalus.
A hush fell. The noise of machines and cogitators working became the loudest sound.
There is a 5-second distance lag on the communication, cautioned the Vox officer, and it is badly distorted.
A humming hiss came from the command deck's Voxcasters, ordinary cosmic interference twisted by the disturbing throb of the storm.
Sotha, can you hear me? Sothan Orbital, please respond.
It was a panicked voice, human, fatigued and full of terror.
This is Captain Adalus. You're in contact with the Orbital. State your name and rank.
A waspish buzz soared through the air. When it passed, the man was babbling.
Nothing we could do. They're coming. Oh, by the old gods. They're coming. We've lost everyone. The bridge crew are all dead.
What is your name? Asked Adalus.
I am sorry, my lord. We are in urgent need of...
What is your name?
The man fell silent. When he spoke again, his voice was barely above a whisper.
My lord, I am Sub-Pilot Maskell.
There is a Sub-Pilot Maskell aboard, my lord,
the dockmaster reported.
Mute Vox. Do we have voice print records?
Said Adalus. I'm reading a 70% match, but the interference from the beacon is so bad it is impossible to be certain.
Adalus nodded.
Vox mute off.
What occurred, Maskell?
I...
The static seemed encouraged by Maskell's panic and hissed louder.
Remember that you are a servant of Ultramar,
Adalus rebuked him.
Remain calm.
Night Lords, they were lying in wait for us aboard a derelict. They tried to take the ship. They killed the legionaries. They boarded and slaughtered us. The things they did.
He broke off into sobs.
Calm, Maskell. Were there no survivors among the legionary contingent?
Three. There are three of them. The rest were slain when the wreck exploded. By the Emperor, it was a trap.
Lethicus boarded a derelict. That does not sound like him, murmured Odilio to Adalus.
Captain Adalus, said Maskell, please help us. You are a merciful lord, I know it.
You know me?
Yes, my lord. We have met twice, briefly. You will not remember me.
Adalus searched his memory. He vaguely recalled a quiet, apologetic man. Maskell continued.
I am sorry, but I cannot bring the legionaries to the Vox. They are badly wounded. Two of them have fallen into the legionary sleep. Sergeant Lethicus comes and goes out of consciousness. We are doing our best, but we do not have the apothecary's skill.
What of the enemy? Said Adalus.
There were not many. Survivors from the wreck. My Lord Lethicus call it a desperate act, but they nearly succeeded. They nearly succeeded.
What is your current situation?
We are operating the vessel from the auxiliary command deck. I've enough men to bring the probity in, but all the most experienced officers are dead. They targeted the command deck, killed Shipmaster Gilius, everyone. Such slaughter!
Maskell tailed away.
The man's terrified, Adalus, said Odilio.
We're losing him.
He is not behaving in a manner befitting a servant of Ultramar, said Genus.
If he has survived a Nightlord's terror strike, we are fortunate that he is coherent at all, said Adalus to the others.
How did you drive them off, Maskell?
The legionaries. Six remained with us while my Lord Sergeant Lethicus boarded the ship. They fought against the traitors alongside the ship's armsmen. We lost 200, but we prevailed. The Night Lords sabotaged our life support. So many died afterwards. We are confined to the auxiliary command deck.
How many were there?
40. That is all.
It's a plausible story, said Odilio. Plausibility does not rule out a lie, brother, said Genus.
Time to station, said Adalus.
50 minutes if they break now. If they don't, they'll go right past us, said Orspex Control. Maskell heard this.
We can pilot the ship in, my lords. It can be done.
We would take the survivors off by Thunderhawk, said Odilio. Bring the ship in to high anchor away from the station.
Give me a theoretical on that option, Orspex, and shipping, said Adalus.
It is a risk, my lord, reported the Orspex officer. The vessel is losing power rapidly. Their main core is bleeding out its fuel. We'd have minimal time to bring it into a stable orbit before it takes itself away from us, my lord.
We do not have tugs or tenders sufficient to arrest it, said the dockmaster.
The Mechanicum Arc?
It is too slow, my lord.
Adalus rested the knuckle of his gauntlet upon his lip.
Order them to bring the vessel in. Prepare Medicaid and auxiliary crisis teams. Send 3 squads to meet. Release safety warning on corridor weapons systems, station-wide.
Yes, my lord.
Master of Communications, put the system on high alert. My order, priority Alpha. This could be an isolated incursion, but we cannot take anything for granted. Not anymore.
And the probity?
Allow them to dock. Send 3 squads to meet them. If this is not what it purports to be, we shall be ready. docking concourse beta of the Sothern orbital buzzed with furious activity. Human firefighting teams lined up by the airlock doors, clad in thick pressure suits and armored fixed helmets. Tanks of suppression foam were at their sides, hoses in their hands. Medicaid staff marshaled on the far side of the bulkhead leading into the main body of the station. Dozens of men waited with power-assisted biers for the wounded legionaries, while more carried stretchers for mortal men. Apothecary Taricus stood with his three brothers in white and blue. Caelius, Artus, and their Primus Medicae, Hespasian, awaited the arrival of the probity in their full power armor. Among their human staff, they were immense, gods of healing and war, their battle plate bulky with Narthesium gauntlets and specialized Medicae backpack units. "The probity approaches," shouted Hespasian. His voice boomed out of his vox amplifier at full volume. "She has suffered much damage at the hands of the enemy. Many of our brothers are dead. Many of our people are wounded. Stand ready. She comes in fast and hard. We may suffer as she births. Do not hold fear in your hearts. We have taken a vow, all of us, human and transhuman, a vow that transcends the differences between us and binds us as one culture in service of the Imperium. Prepare yourselves, servants of Ultramar, to do your duty."
"I'm not sure our unenhanced colleagues appreciate such bombast, Brother Hespasian," said Taricus quietly.
Hespasian chuckled. As an apothecary of the Legion, he had a superhuman level of gallows humor and a rich, gravelly laugh to express it.
"How often has one of us got to make a rousing speech recently?"
"You are glorious, brother. Chief of our little band of white warriors," said Caelius dryly.
"There's not much satisfaction in the marshalling of sickbeds out here at Sotha, Caelius, and even less glory. Allow me my moment. It has been too long."
A vox chime from the command deck demanded the Primus Medicae's attention.
"Hespasian." "The probity will dock in 14 seconds, Hespasian. Brace yourselves. The ship is coming in outside safety parameters."
"Understood, Captain Adalus." He activated his voxmeter again. "Stand ready. Brace for impact."
Klaxons blared. Emergency lumens activated as power to the main lights was cut. There was no warning before the impact. A tremendous bang echoed down the concourse as the ship connected. Metal squealed on metal, and the whole structure of the docking pier vibrated. The lumen strips flickered, tried to come back on, and failed. Dim emergency lighting shone through smoke and fire suppressant gases. A ruptured power feed cracked and buzzed.
"Open up," said Hespasian,
his attitude changing as surely as if a switch had been flicked.
"Everyone, stand ready."
The docking portal shuddered, but would not open.
"A further complication," said Taricus. "The impact has buckled the doors."
"What about the probity's portal? Is it open?" asked Hespasian.
"Crisis team forward."
Auxiliaries ran to the door and began a thorough examination. Banging came from the other side of the door, heavy thumps of metal on metal, the rhythms of panic.
"They cannot get out,"
voxed one of the human deck crew.
"Do we have a seal on their hull?" asked Hespasian.
The men at the door applied listening devices and data thieves to the crumpled metal.
"Seal is at 96%, said the human crisis team leader. "There is a small leak. There's indications of dropping pressure on their side. Looks unregulated."
"We'll have to be quick," said Artus.
"Life support control, prepare to stabilize pressure, docking concourse beta and docking pier," voxed Taricus.
"Establish a link with the ship. Direct interface with internal voxcasters," said Hespasian to the auxiliary teams at the door.
"My lord, we have audio only. I cannot make a data link with the internal augurs."
"Command," Hespasian voxed the command deck.
"The same situation here, apothecary," the reply came back. "No link acquired to augur or data systems. Vox link only."
"Then that will have to suffice. Engage link, full gain."
A hiss in the apothecary's earbeads announced the connection.
"This is Apothecary Hespasian of the Sothern Orbital. We have Medicaid teams waiting to aid you. All who are able should assemble to disembark. Please prepare officers to guide us to the wounded."
The apothecaries listened carefully. There was no reply. The banging grew more frantic.
Command, are you getting any reply?
Negative, apothecary.
Hespasian cursed softly.
Stand back from the doors. We shall cut through. I repeat, stand clear from the doors.
Hespasian waited for the banging to subside.
They heard that, brother, said Taricus.
Probity, clear your airlock, said Hespasian. Cutting teams, make a way.
Two more teams of human auxilia rushed forward, carrying two-man melter units between them. They set up their devices, one operating the power unit, the other directing the slot-perforated barrel of the emitter. They set to work carving the station doors apart. Metal glowed under the invisible rays of focused fusion inductors. The air between nozzle and door rippled with heat.
Once aboard, Medicaid teams 1 through 5 will head aft, ordered Hespasian. The reactor is damaged, their life support is compromised, and there have been heavy casualties. Legionaries and officers are your priority. Triage groups will go ahead. Red tags for treatment, black for mercy.
The men worked rapidly, carving through the station doors just short of the wall. When they were finished, they directed heavy servitors with hooked bars for arms into place. Pneumatics hissed on their backs, opening their prize wide. Metal screeched as the doors were forced unwillingly out of their housing.
That will do, said Hespasian. Servitors back.
The cyborgs were directed to one side. One of the crisis team placed a weak directional charge at the base and activated it with a hand unit. The explosives detonated with a muffled bang, and the doors fell inwards into the station. The ragged, glowing edges cooling to burned black, revealing Probity's cargo portal. The reported leak in the seal made a high-pitched whistling. It was calmly sealed.
Clear,
shouted the emergency team leader. His men fell back to the edge of the concourse, leaving a clear avenue for the apothecaries and human Medicaid to access the door. Hespasian came to a halt before the airlock.
It does not look too bad, said Taricus. They did more damage to the station than we did to them.
Probity, you are clear to re-enter and reopen your airlock portal. We have full atmosphere on our side. Medical assistance is on standby to board. Please exit the vessel to the left in an orderly manner. We shall come aboard on the right.
The doors of the Probity's cargo bay groaned, mechanisms struggling against an obstruction. The sound of overexerted motors reached an unhealthy volume. Then the doors jerked backwards, squealing into their mountings. The other side was completely dark.
Probity, asked Hespasian, are your systems down?
Taricus caught paired glints in the dark. Eye lens shine. Hespasian stepped forward.
Wait!
Shouted Taricus. Strobing lights burst from the ship. Humans cried out as they were dazzled, stumbling back from the glare. A thick, white vapor spilled outward, obscuring the view into the airlock. A phage blocker activated, overwhelming the station's Vox network, blasting them all with a cacophony of men in pain. The Space Marine's helm lenses darkened to compensate, a fraction too late for the blinding effect, and they were blinking after images away when the first of a group of dark figures stepped out onto the concourse. Their leader leveled a Volkite pistol and shot Hespasian through the face. A wall of bolter fire followed him as he strode onto the station and blasted Taricus through the chest as he was bringing his bolt gun up.
Jendor Scryvok holstered his pistol as his warriors jogged past him, slaughtering everyone they came across.
He smiled with grim satisfaction behind his snarling helm mask and opened a vox link to the main fleet.
This is Claw Master Jendor Scryvok. The docking concourse is ours. Begin main assault.
Adalus looked on in horror as the emergency crews were cut down by a fusillade of bolts. His own men traded fire with the Night Lords, but they were faring badly and were driven back when a dreadnought came through the portal at a half crouch, stood tall, and opened fire. At least a dozen legionaries came behind the dreadnought, stepping over bodies onto the orbital. Night lords, more debased than the last time Adalus had seen them, their night blue armor festooned with trophies torn from human bodies. One of the enemy looked directly at the monitoring augurs, and all the picked feeds from the docking concourse went dead. Adalus jabbed an emergency broadcast button, opening Vox channels to everything within range simultaneously.
Ajita Company, to arms. We have intruders aboard the platform. Numbers unknown. Aims unknown. 8th Legion.
He spun around.
Get me intelligence. Is this the only force we're facing, or the start of something bigger? Vox Command, contact the surface. Tell them we've intruders aboard. Someone raise me Warsmith Dantioch by laser pulse and data squirt. We must inform McCragg.
My lord, I've multiple contacts emerging from the far side of the planet, said the chief Auspex officer. He ran from station to station, his eyes widening at what he saw.
Why didn't you see them? Snarled Adalus.
The man recoiled, white with terror in the face of a space marine's anger. I'm sorry, my lord. They're coming right down the Pharos interface pattern.
Adalus came down to the Auspex suite. The picked screens of the instruments were filled side to side by a warfleet a dozen ships strong. He slammed his fist so hard into the console, the plastic screen cracked.
Bastards! Why didn't the picket fleets intercept them? Where have they come from?
Theoretical. They disabled all the pickets, said Odilio. Too many to hide, too few to destroy them all, said Genus. We would have had word.
Do we have anything nearby that might oppose such a force? Asked Adalus.
Captain Corvo of the 19th is out on long-range patrol with 2.5 companies, responded the dockmaster. He is scheduled to be at Beramin and is due to pass Sotha in a week if he can keep his bearing in the storm.
We cannot hold them off for a week. Odilio, Genus, more theoreticals.
Our orders, my lord, said Odilio hesitantly. Should we destroy the Pharos?
Our given task is to shield it, not spear it, not without a direct order from the Primarch at least. We will take that action as the last resort. Be ready to do his will should it come to it. Arm the cyclonic launchers. Target the mountain.
The 8th are launching attack waves, my lord. Multiple inbound fighter craft on a direct intercept heading.
Gunnery control, fire at will.
The Southern orbital shook as the gun decks responded to Adalus's orders.
What response from Sotha?
My lord, the Night Lords, said the chief Vox officer. They're jamming us, wideband. I've interference right across the spectrum. It's...
The man tailed away, visibly shaken. Adalus brought his anger under control. His mind worked rapidly through theoretical after theoretical.
Show me.
The Vox officer pressed a button with a shaking finger. Terrified screaming blasted out from the emitter built into his station.
We're on our own, said Adalus finally.
All brothers to battle readiness now. Repel borders. Defend the gun decks. This station must be locked down before the fleet arrives.
Vox Command, connect me to Arcus if you can.
My lord, there is an incoming communication.
Put it on the Vox.
Floating emitters arranged themselves so that all those on the command deck could hear. The screaming of the Night Lord's Vox jam flooded every corner of the command deck. The Vox file had been expertly crafted for maximum impact, and the voices were horribly clear, individuals in agony, begging to die. The screaming cut out. For a brief moment, the bridge Voxcasters roared out an unintelligible blast of communications from every part of the station and Sotha as the 199th scrambled into action. Then this was again silenced by an overpowering Voxlink. The station's central hololith wavered. The tactical map it projected was replaced by the face of the enemy. A tall legionary with long dark hair, skin almost as pale as that of Korax's sons, and eyes with irises so big and dark that they merged into his pupils, looked triumphantly at them.
Greetings. Captain Adalus of the Ultramarines. I am Claw Lord Krukesh of the 8th Legion. Some call me the Pale. Perhaps you have heard of me.
I am of the Chiroptera, the command.
I know your structure, traitor.
Krukesh tuttered.
Shall we keep this civilized?
I would not have called a single man among you civilized even before your treachery.
Let's skip to the end of this, then. I demand the immediate handover of the orbital platform. Once we have secured your, compliance,
he said with a nasty smile,
we might negotiate the terms of the surrender of Sotha.
Never! Who do you think you are to come here and make such demands?
I am the commander of nearly 20,000 legionaries against your single company. That is who I am.
I have 10,000 men under arms on the planet, a Titan Legion, and 40 maniples of the Legio Cybernetica's finest war constructs, said Adalus.
You are going to have to try harder than that if you want to fool me, Captain Adalus,
Krukesh scoffed.
We have been in this system for months, hiding right under your noses. You have, at most, a full company of legionaries. Maybe there are a few other assets, but it is our brothers that count, especially in a case such as this, when we have such a disparity in forces. It is of no consequence if you have an army group on the planet. If there are not similar numbers of legionaries, there is a definite mismatch. Surely your canny Primarch taught you such a simple lesson early on in your training. Or did he omit it, so sure he was that no one would uncover the false Emperor's lies?
Every one of my brothers is worth 10 of yours.
Even by that generous estimate, you are still outnumbered 2-1. We know everything to take your company apart in moments. Everything about this beacon of yours. We have logged every activation, every shift in focus, every time the light on Macrag goes out, every time it comes back on. We have tested your eyes and found them blind, whispered in your ears and found them deaf. Your attention to detail is your greatest weakness as a legion, for in detail there are patterns, and patterns can be read. You have told us everything we need to crush you. Thanks to your punctiliousness, you have already lost, Captain. Face your defeat honorably, and I will spare your men much pain.
Adalus stared at Krukesh hatefully, his jaw clamped shut.
Do I have your agreement?
Never!
I expected you to say that. Very well. Allow me to adjust my terms. Surrender without a fight, and we shall spare the civilian populace. You are aware of our reputation. We will refrain from making an example of them if you choose to comply. They will suffer greatly if you do not, for my legion is bored.
And my men?
An offer to join us. I can promise quick deaths to those who will not. No more than that.
Adalus ground his teeth.
You are deluded.
Krukesh shrugged.
In truth, I only made the offer so that when I give your people to my men and you hear their screams, you will know that you might have prevented their suffering. That is, when you are not screaming yourself. I look forward to meeting you. Clawmaster Jendor Skryvok, the captain of the 45th Company, will be with you shortly, I understand. So good of you to let him on board. He has only a short walk to your command deck. I shall...
Adalus cut the hololith.
I will not waste my time negotiating with these bastards.
His eyes strayed to the Auspex screens. The fleet was far too big for the orbital to deal with. The screams started up again.
Terminate that noise, he ordered. We'll make them regret they ever came here. And find me Sergeant Arcus.